Clouds are always exciting. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Clouds are always exciting. Our email is filled with beautiful people sending pictures of clouds, like the ones that are presently over Mount Rainier. Beautiful reticular clouds that are sometimes stacked 3 and 4 stories high. Sometimes they're a single reticular cloud on top of a single reticular cloud. Sometimes they're triple reticular clouds on top of triple reticular clouds. And these reticular clouds are clouds that are circles. There are clouds that look just like flying saucers. It looks just like anything that our imagination might tell us a flying saucer might look like. And as we look at these clouds, we think, wow, aren't they interesting? Aren't they beautiful? We've been over Mount Shasta, and we've seen reticular clouds over Mount Shasta right close up. And it was quite a beautiful scene. Quite amazing how these clouds are formed. And basically over specific mountains. And people think, oh, something is going to happen. They're foretelling something that's going to happen, very, very significant, very magnificent, and maybe not so magnificent, but that's what people's thoughts are. The clouds in our life are like the clouds that are over Mount Rainier today and over Mount Shasta oftentimes. And the clouds in our life are sort of there. We don't understand them. We see them, and they're up there, and they're bothering us to a degree, getting our attention. And we want to speculate on what they're doing, what they're all about, why they're there. Right now, it's a lovely day in Southern California, and the skies are wonderfully overcast, and rain is forecast for this beautiful Saturday morning. Now, will we have rain today? Well, perhaps. Will the clouds just pass by and not leave any rain? That's a possibility. Will they leave a lot of rain and flood the grounds and worry the flash flood areas? Perhaps. Whatever I choose to have the clouds do, that's what the clouds will do. Shakespeare said, "Let the gentle rain that falleth from the heavens be a blessing." We can each say, "Let the gentle rains that falleth from heaven be a blessing." And as we say this, and as we think this, we experience that in our hearts first. It's a mental thing that goes through our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. We think of the gentle rain falling and how beautiful it is. We think, what a wonderful thing to have the rain drop down and send moisture to the earth. I lived in Corona del Mar for many, many years, and it was a lovely place. And it was right next to the ocean. And rain would come and not come, and there were many times that the rain would come from the ocean and sort of skip the land close by the ocean front and just jump into the middle of the area. Jump over into Irvine or into Santa Ana and Newport Beach, but just sort of skip Corona del Mar. Well, I had a beautiful dichondra lawn, and I wanted that dichondra lawn to be beautiful and to be consistently lovely and green. And so I oftentimes worked in the evenings, and when I'd come home, it'd be quiet and peaceful, and I'd stop in my beautiful lawn front yard, and I would look out across the ocean, and I'd look out across the city, and I'd think to myself, what a beautiful place this is. And I'd look at my dichondra lawn, and I would say, you are always beautiful, growing, wonderful. You are always moist and fresh. And then I'd go in the house, and I'd prepare myself for the evening and for bed. And in the morning, when I would come out, oftentimes it would be quite early, I would come out and I'd walk and look at my lawn, look at the beautiful patch of dichondra that I had there, that was my lovely lawn, and I would say, "Wow, you're beautiful." And it was beautiful. And then I realized, as time went on, that somehow moisture had dropped down on my lawn every morning before I got up, and had watered my lawn sufficiently to keep it green and beautiful, just perfect. Not wash it out, not flood it, just keep it perfect. And for years, I experienced that, and I thought, wow, isn't that wonderful? I wasn't really totally conscious of it. I just had that good feeling that I blessed the lawn every evening when I came in, and every morning when I went out. I praised the lawn for its beauty and for the rain that had fallen in the night and kept it moist. I never had to water that lawn because it was always moist and nice. We look at the rain clouds and we say, oh dear, they're going to cause floods. And so they do. It doesn't matter what goes on anywhere in the world. Wherever we live, we surround it with our pure white light of love. We may not be broad enough in our concept, big enough in our ability to encompass all the area, but at least we can encompass our own area. At least we can encompass our own backyard or our own front yard, and surround it with our pure white light of love, and see it growing beautifully. Whatever grass we plant there, whatever flowers we plant there, if we're in the high desert and we don't have too many flowers and plants, they're more the natural flora and fauna that surround us, we look at them and we say, how beautiful, how wonderful. If we want to change nature, well, we have a little different circumstance. We put in lawn, we manicure the ground so that they look beautiful like they do over in Switzerland. And you fly in over Switzerland and you look down, you see all of these beautiful lawns, all these beautiful patches. And here is where the farmers just offhandedly take their mowers or their scythes and cut down the grass, use it for hay and whatever. And the lawn grows back up again. And with the rains and with the temperature and with the type of weather, things just grow. And then winter comes and the snow settles in over it and moistens it. And then as spring comes, up she sprouts right again for one or two or three harvests of grass or hay. We can do that wherever we are. Wherever we live, we can live near where hurricanes are, and we can surround ourselves with the positive, beautiful, peaceful attitude of nature and life, untouched by anything other than what we desire for ourselves. The reticular clouds were worshipped by the early Indian cultures because they were so unique and so peculiar. Even today, spiritual people look at these reticular clouds and they call them blessings of God. They call them angelic beings. They call them the home of the angels. They call them all sorts of things. Well, that's how wonderful. We too can look at the clouds that cover over our area, and we can say, you are filled with the blessing of rain, and you moisten the ground beautifully, and everything is beloved by you, because you are the beloved of everything. The more we look at the clouds and we love them and bless them and see only good in them, the more the clouds will reveal the good that they have hidden in them, unaware to us because we were too blind to see it. We were looking for problems rather than joys and solutions. I looked at my Corona del Mar front lawn and it was green and beautiful, and the dichondra was always perfect, never had to be mowed. I look at the 104 acres here of the Absolute Monastery, the University of Healing, here in the high desert of Campo, California. And as I look around, I see beautiful trees. I see trees that grow almost without water, and I say, how can they do that? And then there's a dry, dry spell. And the dry spell comes along and I say, everything is blessed. Everything is blessed. Here and there a tree will succumb to the dry spell, but basically they stand up. They put their roots deep into the ground, and regardless of the appearances, the growth, the life, it is all there. We too have that privilege of looking beyond the cloud, of looking beyond the appearances that say there's something negative there, and say rather, I surround my world with my pure white light of love, and all is in peace and harmony. I surround my world with my pure white light of peace and harmony, and all is in divine order. As I say this, I put a cause in motion. I put a cause in motion, healing my attitudes of anything which would belittle my world. And I don't belittle my world. I beloved my world. My world is beloved of me. I love everyone in the universe so completely, I call everyone my beloved. And people often think, what do you mean, beloved? Well, I love you. Oh, sure, I love everyone. I love me. I love my eyes. Whatever my eyes see, I love. I love my world. My world is seen by my beloved eyes, and it's my beloved world. And all is in divine order right now, and how great it is. I claim this for myself, and I claim this for all of my creation, all of my world, and so it is. I love you. I love you. I love you.